This is Defeating the Curse. My name is Joe. LP, FP, and Stevie in studio tonight as well. We're talking Redskins, talking NFL free agency, and we might even get into some arena football if time permits. But let's start with our local team, the team that everybody continues to talk about, and us included, no matter how often and how regularly we try not to. It's been really quiet over at Redskins Park over the last couple of weeks. Going back to Scott McLuhan's release, they've brought in some players, they've let go of some players, or they haven't re-signed some players. But here we are. Bruce Allen is still employed. Kirk Cousins is still our quarterback for now, and we're just weeks away from the draft. And all eyes are on Bruce and the magic board that hopefully Scott left behind at Redskins Park to continue to steer this offseason and this team. So, you know, I'm personally not so convinced that we know what we're doing. I know some in our local media market here are encouraged by the fiscal responsibility being practiced right now at Redskins Park. I think it's a break from the norm. It's a little unsettling. But the fact that our quarterback still isn't on a long-term deal, potentially the rumor is, has expressed interest in being traded because he won't stay as long as Bruce Allen is in town, and that can't be good for anybody. It's an interesting time. I mean, Redskins fans were, for years and years, we won the offseason. We got the big names. We made the big splash post-draft. Over the last couple of years, we didn't do that, and we were the team that was being responsible and bringing in and trying to fill gaps with players that are, you know, more affordable and serviceable and fit a specific need on our team. But here we are. We've lost Scott McLuhan. We've lost Pierre. We've lost Deshaun. Chris Baker is gone as well. And the players that have come in, well, they're not making anybody's I don't know how to say this nicely. They're not piquing anybody's interest. So here we are. I'm gonna go to LP here first. Is Cousins gonna get a long-term deal?
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. We had the Kirk Cousins, Adam Schefter interview come out last week where Kirk said that he did not demand a trade. He just inquired to where the team is going and where the team wants to go with him. And I think what he really wanted to do there was he just wanted to make it clear that he does not want to go play for Cleveland, which I don't blame him. Then he goes on to say that he never demanded a trade, and that he felt, after having the conversation with Dan and Bruce, that he felt wanted. And that was a key thing that I heard, because he said that over time and time and over again and throughout the past 2 years, that he just wants to go somewhere where he feels wanted and he feels needed. I don't know if he's going to get a long-term deal. I certainly hope. I really can't see a way around it where he does not get a long-term deal. I can't see the Redskins really thinking that they can go on with Colt or with Nate Sudfeld or with a rookie QB or even drafting a rookie this year and having him start next year. I can't see that. It makes no sense to me. To me, it's, you know, what are you saving all your money for? You haven't signed anybody in free agency. You let Pierre walk. You let Deshaun walk. What are you saving your money for? You left $15 million on the table last year. You could have used that to pay for three-fourths of Kirk's franchise tag. I can't see the thought behind what Bruce and Dan and Eric Schaefer are thinking right now. It just makes no sense to me. What do you think, FP?
I don't know. I mean, it makes sense from a strictly managerial front office reason why they wouldn't sign Kirk. I read somewhere saying financially it was the smart thing to do. If you remember the whole Monday morning quarterback article that came out saying how McLuhan wanted to sign him at the end of 15 and all that stuff. I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm pretty sure if we wanted to do it at the end of 15 and we wanted to do what McLuhan wanted us to do and sign him right then and there, he would have been so cheap. I don't know why you don't even take that risk. If it really was because of RG3, this team is so ridiculous that I can't even begin to think of why Cousins would want to stay. If you're going to value an injured hype machine quarterback over somebody that was had the upswing, if I were him, I would want to go. I want him to stay, but I think he's going to go.
Of course he's going to go. Of course he's going to go. Go ahead. Sorry.
That makes no sense. I don't understand why an executive would – how that would be a financially responsible decision. Weren't we financially irresponsible for the past 20 years, and how did that end up working out for us? We brought in Donovan McNabb. We brought in Haynesworth. We brought in Mark Brunell. Bring in all these guys. That's not the way to build the team. We finally had a way to build the team and to build the team through the draft and not go out in free agency and go crazy and do it the right way. Do it the Seattle way. Do it the New England way. Do it the Green Bay way. And now all of a sudden we're just all going to throw it out the window. We haven't signed anybody big in free agency to date this year, and I have zero confidence in the draft. So the only thing you can do is sign Kirk.
Can I just go on record by saying you can pontificate after this, okay? Can I just go on record by saying I'm against everything that's going on in this podcast right now? Okay, because it is March, whatever the hell it is. What is it, 21st? And we are talking about the Redskins, okay? And I know, okay, we're click whores, okay? That's what we are, okay? And I know that's what gets the clicks, and that's what gets the fans, okay? I know we got a big fan base down in Ashburn. But this is so stupid that we're talking about the Redskins when there's so much other things going on, okay? And I'll tell you what, as long as I'm seeing Terrell Pryor videos shirtless of him working out in the snow, I'm good to go. That's my Redskins news for March, okay? Because I'm glad that everything's quiet down there. It shouldn't be loud. I mean, it's ridiculous that the Redskins were front page news on March 15th or whenever it was when they fired Scott and became Days of Our Lives over there. This is what it should be, okay? They should be working on the draft. They should be working on getting their free agents back, and they should be, you know, in the limelight here.
What free agents are they working to bring back exactly? Because I believe they've all walked at this point. So, you know, I'm not looking for them to make a huge splash here either, Steve, but let's just do some revisionist history. If Kirk gets signed long-term either last year or the season before, our offense is intact today because these guys, there's no way Pierre and Deshaun are going to walk away from a guy who's throwing for 5,000 yards a season and is a stone's throw away or a pick in the end zone or a missed field goal in London away from being a playoff team 2 years in a row. So it's easy to look at them and say right now, well, you know, I don't agree either with Farag on this, that they're making the right decision by not extending him. They made the wrong decision 2 years ago by not locking him up. They made the wrong decision last year by not locking him up, and they're making the wrong decision yet again right now for not locking him up. Because if he walks, just look at the quarterbacks that are out there right now. Who's going to come in here and run your team? You're not going to draft another Kirk Cousins. He's going to be a couple years away. And that was the beauty of Cousins, is you had him on the cheap for 4 years. You got to evaluate him. But now it's time to pay him. And they're saying, oh, we can do it again. We can go strike. No, you can't. You can't. This town has been void of talent at the quarterback position for so long that we finally have it. We are grossly overpaying for it now. And the irony is we let other skill positions deteriorate in the process.
Joe, what is your grievance, Joe? I mean, right now Kirk Cousins is their starting quarterback. Right now they have a number one wide receiver. I can't wait for this. He used to be a quarterback answer. Okay. We have a number one wide receiver who is several million dollars cheaper than the 4 foot midget that just left and went to Tampa Bay, and the other guy who's 37.
He also has 1/20th the career receptions and the career production. He was a quarterback in college, and yes, he tried to make it to the NFL as a quarterback.
All the YouTube videos
that I'm seeing of Terrell Pryor right now or of him as a basketball player. I mean, it's great, three sports, and wow, and he can dunk a basketball, and blah, blah, blah. He came from the worst team in the league.
OBJ has those videos. OBJ has those videos. Everyone freaks out.
Listen,
guys,
I don't want to make this about
point.
Pryor.
Hold on.
I don't want to make this about Pryor. I don't want to make this about Pryor because
all right, so let me bring back
it was a good
let me bring
it
back
was a
to
good
Cousins.
Acquisition, but what do you guys I don't want to get listen, it's not about Pryor. It's about what they should have done and it's about what they're not doing today. We have
let me bring
one,
this back to Cousins.
We have no proven receivers on our roster today right now.
Aside from the receivers, let's bring this back to Cousins. You can all agree with me that the biggest issue right now is that Cousins camp and the Redskins camp can't agree on what he's worth, right? We came up to him, we gave him an offer, he wanted more. The problem right now is what he's worth. And I want to ask you guys, there was a tweet I saw earlier that Kirk Cousins is more valuable to the Redskins than almost any other team because he is a system quarterback that works well in Gruden's brilliant system. So the question now is, taking the fact that you have a quarterback currently that has proven to work perfectly in your newly extended head coach's offense, do you just pay the man and reap as much as you can from him? Or do you let him go and then figure out if market value goes your way
well,
or not?
You can't let him go. Right now, look at the list of unemployed quarterbacks. And let's go on a tangent here for a second. RG3 and Colin Kaepernick, listen, they're both unemployed, and they will likely stay that way because the talent doesn't exceed the problems they bring with them, right? That's the bottom line. They are both circus shows. One doesn't want to stand for the anthem, and the other one can't figure out who his girlfriend is versus his wife. They're both unemployed, but statistically, Kaepernick probably, if he wasn't Kaepernick, would be employed by a team today. He had an awful season, and he's a shell of himself since he went and became like a vegan or whatever nonsense he was doing. But you know, no one's going to employ somebody like that. When you look at Kirk Cousins through that lens as a free agent, he's priceless. There's no amount of money.
I absolutely agree.
So you have to keep him, or else we're having a very different conversation next year about how we don't have receivers, and now we also don't have a quarterback. So these guys, those guys are you know, it's interesting when you look at someone like Kaepernick versus someone like Tebow, because they're kind of the opposite polar extremes, right? Tebow is kind of like your right wing, like Jesus, like thumper, like the Christian base, which and the right wing base. They love Tebow. The left wingers and the anarchists and whatever and the America is not fair and Black Lives Matter, they love Kaepernick. The difference is the people on the right, they go to sports events. They voted for Trump. They fill the seats. They spend money on sports. The people on the left don't. And Kaepernick, he's never going to get employed again. He's never going to get another job, another opportunity.
Listen, without offending all our listeners, let's
listen, Joe.
First
Kaepernick
of all, yeah,
not going to get another job. Hold on. Kaepernick is not going to get another job in the NFL because he sucks. He's horrible.
No. Look at his stats from last year. He was above average, even though he had some
games. Was awful. No. Did you actually watch him play other than
Hold on. Was he as awful as Ryan Fitzpatrick? Was he as awful as the rotation of garbage in Cleveland? Was he as awful as Osweiler in Houston? No, he wasn't. Based on his stats, he should be employed, but he's not because of the circus that follows him. There's no chance. There's no chance he gets another job ever because by not standing for the anthem, he offended the base that pays the salaries and the tickets. He offended the people who fill the stadiums, who in large part, by the way, voted for Donald Trump. He's never going to work again. RG3, ironically, I mean, look at his tweets and his Instagram. He's swimming with dolphins, hashtag best. The guy, he's never going to play again because he's not good.
Hey, Joe.
Go ahead.
If Tom Brady took a piss during the national anthem, there'd be teams lining up to sign Tom Brady again.
That's fair, but you know Brady got a lot of heat because he took a picture with Trump too, right? I mean, people do like everybody tries to dance around like the sports and politics, and we don't want to mix them. But I mean, ESPN is making a living these days by basically just pushing left wing propaganda, and Bruce Jenner is the sportsman of the year, and Spike Lee is now activist quarterbacks. Come on, whatever.
I don't know what we're talking about. Hold on. I don't know what we're talking about. Let's bring this back to the Redskins, and it's a simple question. Is Kirk Cousins good because of the system, or is the system good because of Kirk Cousins? I love Kirk Cousins. I want him to stay, but if I'm going to play devil's advocate, there's a lot of big games that he has dropped. There's a lot of bad picks that he has thrown. There's a lot of big stats out there that do not go in his favor. As much as I like him and as much as I want him to stay and as much as I know there's a learning curve and there's only a high ceiling for him, the question is he a good quarterback for the system or is the system good for him? I don't want to take the risk and find out that he's a good quarterback. I'm pretty sure that LB thinks the same way, right, LP? No, you don't? All right.
Absolutely. No, hold on. Kirk Cousins, it can't be one or the other, Paul. It's both. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Jay Gruden runs a good system. You put them both together, they have two back-to-back winning seasons and make it to the playoffs. It's a fact of both. Kirk, is he going to succeed in every system? Maybe, maybe not.
No. You can't say
it's both, though. It's a combination of both. Kirk and the system work together and to provide a product that is appealing to the eye. We all saw that last year.
When you had Colt McCoy and RG3 in the mix, that offense was garbage. Garbage.
Exactly.
And is that because of – so then that's going to lean more in Cousins' favor, not –
No, does that also mean that Gruden's system sucks because it didn't work for RG3? No. His system worked in Cincinnati. His system worked here with Kirk Cousins. His system did not work here with RG3, and it did not work with Colt McCoy. So it's a combination of both.
Actually, it did work with Colt McCoy. His problem was that he got injured, and had Colt not been injured, we probably wouldn't have even seen Kirk come back. Colt came in there. He had no problems except that he's fragile. That was Colt's biggest problem, is that he was fragile. He ran the offense great. If you remember that Cowboys game, he came in and ran that offense great. So the question is, again, is it the system or is it the quarterback? The system, I think, is a very good system. I love Jay Gruden. I love the system. But on top of that, we did lose a lot of pieces that system needed. So it comes down to the nitty-gritty of system versus quarterback. What do you think?
Hold on. I think you need to go back to what you said. I think you need to go to the doctor, get your memory checked, because I think you forgot how often Colt McCoy was sacked during that 3-4-5 game series streak that he had going. That guy
as
got
often
sacked.
As Cousins
I remember literally you were at my house, we were watching, and we're like, dude, this guy gets sacked more than RG3. We didn't think that was possible. That's exactly verbatim the words that we said. Colt McCoy,
our line was nowhere near what it was in 2014 that it is this year.
Okay, I agree, but that doesn't mean that Colt McCoy could run the system.
Listen, guys, it doesn't matter what either of you think, okay? The reality is people who pay tickets to go see this team play, and I don't know if you guys have ever been season ticket holders, but I know two of us have been. We stopped going, okay, because the product on the field didn't meet our expectations. And the reality
because
is –
your wives wouldn't let you.
Listen, that's not the truth. We couldn't afford them anymore, and we couldn't sell them because nobody wanted to go to that horrible stadium. And if you want me to get on my stadium rent, I'm happy to do it. Or if you want me to explain to you why Snyder doesn't have any money, I'm happy to do that too. But
I'm usually too inebriated to even care about the stadium stands before the game starts.
We listen. We all watch the same team play every Sunday, okay? But we also all listen to the same sports talk radio shows in town here. And week after week now, we've heard people call in to various shows. We've heard people even tell us, I'm not going to re-up my tickets as long as Bruce – if they don't re-sign Kirk. Because what am I going to the stadium to cheer for? I'm not going to re-sign. I'm not going to re-up my tickets and pay an arm and a leg and sit in that traffic and go to that miserable stadium if the team is being run by someone who's incompetent. If they don't bring back this quarterback, who is the only chance of success over the next 5 to 6 years of this franchise. So,
I agree with you.
Money talks.
I agree with
money
you.
Money talks. And right now, we can be excited about Terrell Pryor. We can be excited that they haven't blown the bank on a bunch of big signings, and we didn't just You know, we didn't roll out the red carpet and send Redskins one to go pick up Adrian Peterson. Like, there's some things that we can look
that
and say,
still
hey,
could happen.
It could happen, but there's some positives here in how the offseason is progressing. But to me, it's still a failure because your number one and number two receivers are gone, and Chris Baker's gone too.
Can we get off the receivers talk?
You put too much weight on the receivers. You put way too much weight on them. I'm sorry.
Let me say this. I mean, you guys are a couple minutes late on that. Okay, somebody should have called out Joe about 5 minutes ago when he made a ridiculous fake news statement that there's no proven wide receivers on the Redskins, that we don't actually have the best tight end in the NFL, that we don't have one of the best slot guys in the NFL, that we don't have
one concussion away from career over. Over.
So is everybody.
Yeah, but then
so
you just
everybody,
sub
Joe.
In Vernon Davis. You sub in Vernon Davis. We probably have
and
the
Niles
best.
Paul. Vernon Davis, the guy who couldn't catch the ball and convert from 5 yards out in the end zone.
Joe,
that
Joe,
Vernon Davis?
Joe, you are one laryngitis sickness away from not being the golden voice on this podcast. Okay, so of course that's a ridiculous statement to make. Okay, so it's again this gloom and doom Redskins fandom. Which people that call in to Sports Talk are the worst people ever, okay? And I know we got one on the podcast, okay?
Joe from Springfield, sir.
But look, it's we're just victims of this abusive relationship. To steal what's his name's article, I think it was Tom Lavero. So the question I got to you guys is: can you be sensible, reasonable people, and can you see a positive that came out of this offseason? Can you name me one positive?
We did not sign Adrian Peterson.
That still could happen.
You guys keep talking about – hold on. You guys keep talking about not signing players. Okay, we didn't sign players last offseason. How did our defense turn out? Not signing players is not good. You need to sign the right players. That's the problem. We're not
that is a money point, sir.
We're not signing anybody right now.
Kirk Cousins is the right player. Kirk Cousins is the right player who plays quarterback.
I agree. Why isn't he signed?
Wait, so on top of that, if more reason to make Kirk want to stay, because ultimately it's his decision, we should be going out there and making this team that much better and being like, look, man, we made this team incredible. You can have a playoff push, a Super Bowl push in 1 to 2 years if you stick around. We haven't done anything to tell him that. We haven't made any moves to tell him that. We haven't been like, hey, we got you a stud defense. Hey, we got you this shutdown defense, this great running back, this fantastic offensive line. All we need is you to get that championship. We haven't done any of those moves. That's what LP is saying. Our team is not signing anyone to make us better aside from the Kirk thing, right? We're not doing anything that when we come to him with a price, we could also add on 1 to 2 years, right? Like Big Ben, right before the bus retired, Big Ben was like, give me one more year, I'll get you a Super Bowl. He did, right? That's what made the bus stick around. We need something for the defense to come in there or for the team to come in there and be like, hey, we have all these things in place for you. Just take this deal, give us a chance, and you'll walk away with the championship. Right? That's what you're trying to say, right, LP?
Absolutely. And it just it hasn't happened. Like, I guess the best thing that we've given Kirk is the fact that Matt Kavanaugh is the OC and that Jay Gruden is the head coach. That's got to be the best thing that we've done all offseason. Actually, I'll take it back. The best thing we've done is definitely re-up Jay Gruden. Nothing else is even remotely, I would say, not even mediocre. Everything has been just bad.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Well, we got a couple weeks until the draft. But I know we're all football diehards. Does anybody care about the DC Valor, the Washington Valor, starting their season here in like a week or two? Is arena football going to become a thing here in DC?
Is arena football a thing anywhere in the world? Who even knows?
Can you promise me it'll be better than the XFL? Is it going to be better than the XFL? Because I love
the XFL.
The
XFL was awesome, man.
I love the XFL.
Was awesome.
Guys, you're sleeping on DC is the prototypical fad city, and we love to get on new fads. So all of the Arlington bros and all of the DC yuppies are going to show up to the Valor's games. They're going to talk about it at the cooler at some government contractor on Monday.
Or, are they going to be sponsored by PBR? Is that what's going to happen?
I'm saying it's going to happen, and people are going to get into it. And I think they're marketing it the right way. I mean, they got a great play-by-play guy, Grant H. Paulson, okay, my boy from 106.7.
And they're a great color commentator.
Yeah, they went ethnic with the color commentary, going Santana, okay, for the brothers. So I think they're gonna market it really well, and they're gonna do it really well. Verizon Center is a great place to watch a game, no matter if it's arena football or Wizards, or it's a great place to go, downtown Chinatown. So yeah, I'll check out a game. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be something to do on a Friday night.
But you know, there's some irony here that we're talking. Sorry, Paul, I don't mean to cut you off, but there's some irony here talking about, you know, the Washington Valor Arena football. Do you guys remember back in, like, I can't remember if it was 99 or 2000, Dan Snyder actually promised that he was going to bring an arena football team to town. And if I recall correctly, he was trying to trademark Washington Warriors at the time, and everybody thought it was because of a potential name change for the Redskins, which obviously didn't materialize. He didn't end up putting the team together. And, you know, I think I don't recall exactly what happened, but he had promised it was coming, and then it didn't happen. And Ted Leonsis, who I would argue is probably the best owner in our city here, although the Lerner Group probably is it's a toss up, but Leonsis, you know, goes out and basically announces, hey, Washington Valor's coming to town. You know, this is before I think any of us paid attention to football in general, but I had to do some research on this. We actually used to have an arena football team in the area here. It was called the Commandos. They played at the Cap Center in 87. And then I think they were renamed a bunch of times. And I recall seeing something at the Patriot Center or whatever it's called now when I was at Mason. There was some banner or something up on the wall about the Virginia Commandos. I think that was the same team. But anyway, to bring it full circle.
Horrible name.
I mean, but Valor is a cool name, and the logo is awesome.
Awesome name. If we were to ever get rid of the Washington Redskins burgundy and gold nostalgia that everyone wants to hold on to, I would be all for the Washington Valor being the NFL team, the same red, white, and blue color scheme, the same awesome logo. That logo is incredible. I love it. It's fantastic.
I agree. Guys, I would totally rock a shirt or a hat with the Valor logo on it, for sure.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'll probably actually buy one anyways.
The only thing I know about the Washington Valor is that I'm still waiting for my invitation for a tryout. I signed up a couple months ago, as a place kicker. I kicked a 50-yard field goal at Seahawks Stadium with all the pressure on. So I'm still waiting for my invitation. I'm not sure where it is, but I'm still a free agent right now. If anyone from the Valor is listening.
So I don't know if you're joking or not, but there was actually tryouts held last month, and I know several people that went out, including one, Mina Yusuf, tried out for as to play quarterback. And that's a true story, and he said it was one of the coolest experiences. He's down on the field trying to throw. You know, he's used to throwing us during our Ice Bowl Thanksgiving Day football games. He was actually he went out like, why not? Why not give it a shot? I mean, I think there's only. You know, I'm looking at that roster. I think there's one player, Greg Carr, is the only name that really jumps off the off the page. I think he played for the Chargers around 2010 or so. But I personally, I don't know if I'm going to do a whole lot of homework or learn a whole lot about each player. But I am interested to see if this type of, you know, and if an indoor football activity in the middle of DC miserable summer does attract people, you know, to Chinatown, to the Verizon Center. I mean, the stadium, the Verizon Center Arena is still one of the nicer venues in the area, if not on the East Coast. I mean, it's older, but it fits, it does its job well. And D.C. in the summer, you know, we all love our Nats games, but, I mean, for some of us, it's a little harder. I mean, we tend to melt in the sun, so, you know.
It does get pretty damn hot.
Yeah, an air-conditioned arena with football. We all love football. Like, yeah, I could totally see, to Steve's point, people just going to check it out once or twice casually. Maybe it becomes a thing here. Maybe it's not going to overtake the major sports, but could it nip at the heels of like MLS, for example, and the DC United? Maybe.
Yes, because nobody cares about soccer, Joe.
No, that was a trick question. United, there's no chance, man. United is huge. There's no chance.
Nobody cares about soccer.
Goes,
Nobody's
United
cares about
games
AFL.
Are one of the best.
Nobody's going to go over the Nats.
United games are one of the best experiences in DC sports. You have 50
it's
fans
awesome.
Or whatever. They're the most passionate, loving people ever. I mean, they just like you can't say a fan base loves their team as much as DC United. Not here.
Maybe when
the Redskins fans love their team.
Yeah, go to a Redskins game. What's the percentage of non-Redskins fans? Go to United games. Zero, zippy percentage of non-United fans.
I'll tell you what. When the DC United get their new playing field, I'll give them a shot. I'll maybe check out one Valor team or one Valor game, see what it's like, how it's going. But nothing's ever going to win over going to a Nats game for me.
DC United, I mean, they have a history here of I mean, they've won MLS Cups. I mean, they've been competitive in their history. I agree. It's one of the cooler game day experiences, although not a lot of people always turn out. But if the Redskins had a stadium that didn't stink and it wasn't, you know, incredibly far away with no access in or out, then people would go. I mean, I've said this on previous podcasts. If Snyder built if he replaced RFK with a 70,000 person stadium as opposed to 100,000, he would get 60 to 70,000 Redskins fans to come out. But the reality is,
absolutely,
for everybody that lives in DC or in Virginia or on the DC on the Virginia side of DC, nobody wants to sit on 95 or 50 to try to get to FedEx Field to pay $50 to park and $50 before you know on one beer and a hot dog. Nobody wants to deal with that. Where I can go to a Nats game or a DC United game and spend the same $50, park 10 feet away from the entrance, get a hot dog, and have a full 7 hours, no commercial breaks, and just enjoy myself at the game.
Hey, Joe.
I think everyone agrees with you right now.
I disagree, actually. When your team is winning, when you have Kirk Cousins, your quarterback signed to a long-term deal, and your team is winning, you have a good defense, a good coach, no drama, no BS, none of that stuff. People will come to the game, no matter where it is. When you have a losing team and you have a crappy team and you have a team with no long-term quarterback, and you have all these issues, you have no GM, you have a head coach who's signed but not signed, and all these other things that we've seen, that's when, you know, fans won't come all the way out to Landover, Maryland, or, you know, 75 miles outside of D.C.
Yeah, well, here we are. You know, it's towards the end of March. You know, I'm excited about the DC Valor. It's another thing that we can put into our events calendar, if you will, for the summer months around here. And it's air conditioned and it's off the metro. It checks all the boxes for something that maybe people at least go check out once or twice, especially if they do like promos where, like Steve was saying, we can go, like four bros can go and, you know, beers and hot dogs are included or something. Yeah, I think they can carve out a small niche of Redskins fans that love football, that want to see something over the summer months. Yeah, why not? It would be at least until the novelty wears off. Yeah, I think they got a shot at bringing in some folks.
Well, I think just to wrap this up, conclusion of tonight's podcast is Redskins still a mess. We're all still down on the Redskins. Some more than others, and that's okay. You know, we have a differing opinion on that, but we're all still pretty down on the 17 off-season, 17-18 season, and we're still waiting on something really positive to happen and hoping over the next couple of weeks that we'll hear some good news. And we're all a little bit intrigued by the Valor, but, you know, next podcast, I think we got to get into my NATS, 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 Nats. I think we got to talk about that, because that is the showstopper for the spring summer here in DC, and we got to bring
Stevie, is Max going to be ready for opening day?
No, that's right. The worst kept secret down in
Stevie, is Bryce Harper going to be here long?
That's I'm not done with Bryce yet. I mean, if you see what he's doing down in Florida,
Stevie, is Strassi going to get injured this year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you could set your watch to that.
Stevie, is Dusty still going to be the manager at the end of the season?
Oh, I love me some Dusty, okay? If Dusty's not the manager, then my 3-year-old's going to be crushed, okay? Then somebody's got to break it to my kid. So, anyway, we'll get into the Nats next time. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Defeat the Curse, on Instagram at Defeating the Curse. Check out our website, defeatingthecurse.com, for all the latest podcasts. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time.